Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Two cars, defaced in Stowe, a disturbing message left on a Stoneham lawn, racist flyers found in Chatham, hateful banners hung along a major highway in Saugus and Danvers. All examples of anti-Semitic actions recorded in the Commonwealth over the last few months. Nearly 300,000 Jewish people live in Massachusetts, one of the largest communities in the country. And today, we take stock of the impact on the youngest among them. With us now, Rabbi Orr Rose, who's founding director of the Betty Ann Greenbaum Miller Center for Interreligious Learning and Leadership at Hebrew College, and Rabbi Susie Jacobson, associate rabbi and education director at Temple Israel in Boston. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
So a little bit of context. Nearly 400 incidents of hate, extremism, anti-Semitism, and terror attacks recorded so far this year in Massachusetts, according to the Anti-Defamation League of New England. For context, 10 years ago, zero of these types of incidents were recorded in Massachusetts, according to that same reporter. We have this on paper, but does this time feel different, Rabbi Rose?
Yes, I'm sad to say that this time period feels different, certainly, than my own childhood and experiences as a youth. And in my interactions, not only with my adolescent children, but with youth from the Jewish community and in interreligious and cross-cultural contexts, this is very much on the hearts and minds of young people who are experiencing different forms of hate speech and action in their high schools and in their community clubs, etc.
So, Rabbi Susie Jacobson, we wanted to bring the two of you together to kind of reflect the full age range of our young people. So you start with kids before kindergarten.
Absolutely.
Right? And at what age are you finding that kids are becoming aware that they're in an environment that might be scary or threatening or hostile?
Some of our youngest students begin to ask questions when they notice that we have security guards outside of our synagogue.
And you have security guards.
We have security guards anytime there are kids in the building, anytime the program or the preschool is there. Even my four-year-old has asked me, why is Chris standing outside?
And when did that start? When did you start having security outside the building anytime you had children inside the building?
Many years ago. At least since 9/11, but since then. And any time there is a large anti-Semitic attack, as what happened in Pittsburgh, we've also had police presence. And the students come in, and they come into their classrooms, and they ask, why are they there? What is wrong? And we have to explain to them, and we have to talk to them about what it means to be a Jew in this world today and how it's our responsibility to do all we can to keep them safe and to be honest with them about the threats in this world.
And Pittsburgh refers to the Tree of Life mass
killing. Exactly.
So I'll turn back to you, Rabbi Orr. So now you have young people at college age, at a level of formation where they're making a lot of choices about who they want to be as adults. And how do you think in that time of formation, how do you engage with young people who are aware of what's happening in the world around them and really processing it, both as young people and as adults who will go forward in this future and have the power to make change?
In speaking with Jewish youth and young adults specifically, one of the things that I say that may sound obvious is that anti-Semitism is not their fault, and it is not the fault of Jews. Just as other forms of hate speech and action that targets Muslims or other religious and cultural ethnic groups is not the fault of that group. And tragically, anti-Semitism is a very old and pernicious form of hate. And so they need to be aware that the world that they live in is both beautiful and broken. And then the question is how and when to speak out, how to protect themselves, how to engage with others in constructive conversation about their experiences, about the interconnection of different forms of hate speech in action, the ways in which we need to create allyship, and also to think about investing in long-term resilient relationships so that we are not mostly reacting to these flare-ups or to these ugly acts, but are consciously together creating an ethos of pluralism, religious, cultural, ethnic, etc.
So we're talking to Rabbi Or Rose, who's a founding director of the Betty Ann Greenbaum Miller Center for Interreligious Learning and Leadership at Hebrew College, and Rabbi Susie Jacobson, who's an associate rabbi and education director at Temple Israel in Boston. And we're looking at supporting young people from really young ages into their 20s in our communities as we see extreme increases in anti-Semitic action here. So Rabbi Susie, bear with me. We were having a conversation with a pair of comedians last week, and we were talking about satire. Mm. And I said, you know, I talked about satire in the face of rising hate. And Bethany Van Delft, one of the comedians, said to me, oh, no. Not a rise in hate, a rise in expression of hate. And how do we talk with middle schoolers, right, about that piece of it and give them tools? Again, I am thinking about these developmental stages where what's happening is happening whether you're 3 or 13, but how you can handle it is so different based on where you are.
I think the most important thing as educators and rabbis is for us to understand that fear is an important part of the human experience and to be wise and careful listeners to our children, to allow them to express themselves, to share what they are feeling and what they are experiencing, and to make space for that. We are teaching a joyful Judaism, teaching them that Judaism is an incredible, life-giving, beautiful tradition, and the community is one of strength and power. We are not teaching a fearful, victimized sense of being Jewish in this world. And at the same time, the world is complicated, and we have to be there to listen to them and to hear them and to be with them in that. Recently, we gathered a group of teenagers and we were asking them, what is it like to be Jewish in your day school, in your public school? And all of them went around, and from the very first story, each of them told some story of anti-Semitism. And as grown-ups, we need to be there to allow them to share those stories, to process them together, to understand what's happening in this world, because they are seeing things that I did not see growing up. And it's hard for some of us. I grew up with the myth that Jews are doing better, that progress is an upward slope, and that the world that my grandparents lived in is not the world that I live in. And yet, here we are, where our children and our students are experiencing anti-Semitism in violence, in speech, in swastikas carved on lockers, and we need to be present with them in that as we give them tools to learn how to cope.
So, Rabbi Or, I'm going to carve something out here, right? So, you are dealing with high school students, college students, where their awareness of the world, what you're teaching them about the world, is a key piece of what you're doing as an educator. Our focus today is the kind of hate and anti-Semitism that has no justification and no explanation. I want to say that because I know there will be listeners who say, well, there's a whole set of politics and policy around here that you must be teaching at Hebrew College around geopolitical issues, sovereignty, oppression, et cetera, that play into this. I want to mark that and say there is a conversation there. It's not the one that we're having today. So let me do that so that I can ask you the next question, which is how you are educating people at school, young people at school, are the lessons plans changing? Are the curriculum changing? And say, you know, 10 years ago to now, when it comes to learning how to deal with hate, especially when you're training potential rabbis?
Yes, both in terms of content, but also in terms of form. We know, for example, that social media is so important to the lives of younger generations. And I want to say that, like all technological advancements, social media is a tool which can be used and is used regularly for the democratization of knowledge, for furthering free speech, and it can and is used for the articulation of unfettered animosity, bigotry, and hatred. So one area is education vis-a-vis social media. What does it mean to create a social media presence? When do you speak? How do you speak? With whom do you speak? We also try, like all educators, to think about time-worn lessons of history and also what is happening here and now. So what can we learn from this political figure or that athlete? And what did they say? Why did they say it? What information do they have? How can we articulate an intelligent, thoughtful, strong, and compassionate response when people make mistakes? But how do we do all of that in a way that also articulates what Rabbi Susi said a moment ago? We are proud to be bearers of this Jewish tradition. There is so much light and beauty. And at the same time, we have to face the ugliness that is a part of human existence.
I want to pick up on that with you, Susi Jacobson, in working as education director at Temple Israel in Boston. That's okay. We just had a water spill. This is live radio, folks.
It's Mazel
all
tov.
Good. Nice. Nice. So we do have prominent athletes, entertainment figures, politicians, increasingly expressing anti-Semitic views on social media. Kids are the earliest adopters now of social media. They are social media natives in a way that those who are educating them can't be and aren't. How do you help them learn how to navigate that space, learn how to navigate a space that can feel hostile, and learn how to not hate themselves?
It's an incredibly important conversation. I think in addition to what Orda said, we also need to talk to them about the anti-Semitic tropes and memes and ideas that are out there to help them understand them. We've had situations where kids have come into our educational spaces and have parroted back such anti-Semitic tropes as Jews are in charge of the media and argue with us that aren't we in charge of the media? And we have to teach them and help them understand the history of that idea and help them see and understand, because so much of it becomes internalized. I also think that there are things on the internet that they don't understand. There are certain shorthand or memes or other ideas that get passed, and they don't realize why it's anti-Semitic or why certain images are anti-Semitic. So we have honest conversations with our teens and with our middle schoolers and even younger about what they're seeing to help them process that.
So Rabbi Orr, we have a little more than 30 seconds left. Mm. Is there also an opportunity here to build solidarity?
Absolutely.
Because our Jewish residents here in Massachusetts are not the only ones experiencing hate.
Yes. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. famously said that we are a part of an inescapable garment of mutuality. And so we need to come to understand that our diversity is our strength, and that one form of hate speech or action targeting a particular group is the beginning and not the end of pain and suffering for many other people. And so the question is, can we form bonds and bridges? And as a colleague of mine from Interfaith America in Chicago, Eboo Patel, says, bridges must be built. They don't fall from the sky. And so between flare-ups and incidents, we must do the work of bridge building.
That was Rabbi Orr Rose, founding director of the Betty Ann Greenbaum Miller Center for Interreligious Learning and Leadership at Hebrew College. Also with us, Rabbi Susi Jacobson, associate rabbi and education director at Temple Israel in Boston. Thank you to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just a note, a vigil will be held in Stowe tonight to condemn the recent act of anti-Semitism there. Reports show it's set to begin around sunset.